The Holy Quran has mentioned a retort to all questions of this nature. And that is the main principle to which one must take. The Holy Quran deals in one sweep of the hand with all the questions belonging to this category. It says, أَهُمْ يَقْسِمُونَ رَحْمَةَ رَبِّكَ. People from various places, various walks of life, from various schools of thought, they come and make different demands. Some say that he should be the descendant, the new prophet should be the descendant of so and so. And some say that he should hail from that and that city. And some say he should be from that and that people and nation or religion. So the demands from all over the world vary and they are different. Then the issue is only this. Who is going to decide whom Allah should give His blessings? Is it Allah or somebody else? If Allah is free to choose, let Him choose. Because it is not just their point of view. The fact is that the Holy Quran enlarges this question in the context of many other demands. There were Arabs who said he should have hailed from that city, that big city and that big city, the twin big cities. Like the Muslims today demand that the Mahdi should have come from the two big cities, Mecca and Medina. At that time when Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam appeared, the two big cities were not Mecca and Medina. They were two different cities. So the demands, if you further go out of the Middle East and go to India, the demand there would be that the Prophet or the final Prophet or the final, let's say, manifestation of God was to appear from among the Brahmins. And the Buddhists would say the final blessings of Allah was to be shown to the descendants of Buddha, and so the descendants of Confucius, and so the descendants of Zoroaster. It goes on and on. So how can you handle each one of them without there being a central weapon of defense available to you which could hit them all together and with the same severity? That central weapon has been mentioned in the Holy Quran, that the question of who is going to be chosen by Allah rests with Allah, and He will not be dictated to by human beings. So that solves the attack upon Islam from all sides. Secondly, from the biblical point of view, two, you should be well versed and you should be capable of defending the position of Islam. The fact is that Hazrat Ismail is mentioned in Bible as the blessed son, as revealed to Hazrat Muhammad, Hazrat Ibrahim before his birth, and he is promised of unlimited bounties by Allah. And when you remember, it is said that when Abraham prayed for a son and he was given the glad tidings of Isaac, you know what he said? He said, Tere Huzur, in Urdu it says, Tere Huzur Ismail hi jeeta rahe. In your presence, it suffices me that Ishmael be given a long life. That particular verse of the Holy of the Bible decides the issue, not only in this respect, in the respect of the question you have asked, but in other respects as well. They claim that Isaac was the first son. And if Isaac was the first son, how could Abraham reply after receiving the glad tidings about Isaac, that Tere Hazur Ismail hi jeeta rahe? Let Ismail, the long life of Ismail suffice to me, if you provide him with long life. That means Ismail was the firstborn. And as a firstborn, he was recognized as the first official representative of Abraham. If Hazrat Abraham had not looked at him as the true descendant and inheritor of the blessings, he couldn't have said that. He should have shown great pleasure at the fact that although I was given a son before, but he having been born out of a, out of a lady, let's say, londi ko kya kehte hain, slave? Huh? Not concubine, no, that's in the haram. Concubine is haram. That's right. I was thinking of that, yes. Because they claim that because it's out of a bond woman, so he could not inherit the blessings of a prophet. That is the first step they take in that direction. Now, we can counter that through this saying of Hazrat Ismail. If Hazrat Ibrahim was of this opinion, as the Christians would have us believe he was, then when the glad tidings of Isaac was given to him, he shouldn't have said that Ismail was quite enough for me. That is an additional blessing. Because Ishmael, having been born of a bond woman, could not have been enough for Abraham if he had not believed that he would inherit his blessings all right.
But there was a discontinuation from Ishmael to Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa.
Yes.
But in the line of Isaac, there was a lot of profit in the line of Isaac. So he was bearing on actually the discontinuation from Ishmael to Muhammad.
Whereas in the line in the other line, that's fine, all right, that doesn't make any difference at all. The fact is that there is a continuity of the relevant source in the line of Isaac, but then at the time of Jesus Christ he is abundant, and it was prophesied by other prophets as well, like Moses. That from among your brethren, Allah will raise a great prophet. So that shows there was one prophet to offset the weight of an entire line of prophets. He was to be so great. And he was to be born from among the brethren. Not the cousins, in fact. Not the direct line of Isaac. And then also the parable of the vineyard, which has been mentioned in the New Testament, you know that parable. That is also very clear that someone else is going to come, and this time it is not going to be the son, but the father himself. That shows that relationship of Hazrat Muhammad, peace be upon him, to the rest of the prophet, was like this. His coming was the coming of God Himself. The coming of Jesus Christ was by the maximum extension of imagination, like the coming of a son. And this is what has been described in the parable very clearly.
So, it doesn't make any difference whether there is a long lineage of prophets before him or not. The question is, the weight which he carries is so great that compared to that, the rest of the prophets all put together don't carry that much weight. This is, in essence, which has been disclosed by Bible itself in so many places, in so many forms. So, I hope you follow the point. Yes.